Okay, let's say a prayer and we'll get started. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here tonight. Thank you for giving us this chance to get together in the middle of the week and spend some great time of fellowship together, great time on opening the scriptures and pondering and considering, meditating on the word, God, and applying it to our life. Please bless this lesson tonight, God, that you will speak through the Proverbs. Your Holy Spirit will speak through the Proverbs, God, so that we can really grow and learn and take some practical things away tonight. We ask you to bless this time and thank you for every soul that's in here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with a little review. For those of you that weren't here last week, this is the second in a series of three classes on the Christian at work, based on using the book of Proverbs. And so I'll go ahead and reintroduce this. Those of you that were here last week, y'all kind of get a refresher. But I have this, what's supposed to be a structure. You know, the word Proverbs is like a building.
Yeah.
That's all the Proverbs. And then this is the foundation. That's what those little, you know, put the little concrete stippling on there. That's what that represents. Those engineers do that. It's called the fear of the Lord. It's in the foundation.
Amen.
I'm supposed to stay near the mic, sorry. And the fear of the Lord, what it means is that all these Proverbs, to really be effective,
right,
there's an ingredient you got to have. And it's the fear of the Lord. So, you know, that's the ingredient. If you don't bring that to the table, then the Proverbs really won't be as effective as they could be. There's still going to be some effectiveness, but it won't be nearly as effective and have nearly impact without the fear of the Lord. So what I want to do is, we talked about last week, we said, well, Peter and I started off with a class, and we talked about how is your perspective about work? And we looked at, you know, that work was part of God's plan for our life. And it actually started out as a curse to Adam. When Adam sinned, the curse that he got was, you're going to have to work. From the sweat of your brow will you eat food.
Right.
It's not, you know, and we also talked about out of Deuteronomy 8 that also what comes out of the work and what comes out of the ground is where we came from, where we're going to go back to, but what also comes out of the ground is wealth. The wealth that God gives us comes from our work. And so we looked at the class, and the class was really about suffering and wealth. Two, which you might, well, those things go together. But really, there are two things that are associated with work. And so the Proverbs are here to help us understand, you know, how to handle both those things, because they're going to be there.
Amen.
And really, the difference is, how do you handle them? How do you handle the suffering that you're going to have to undergo when you're working? And how are you going to handle the wealth that you get as a result of your work? So we covered that last week. And then the second class that we're going to have, that we talked about, the second thing we talked about with regards to looking at all these Proverbs. Because we could do, you know, we found about 98 Proverbs in there that seemed to had something to do with work. You know, from Peter's and I experience at work. We found about 98. But instead of, you know, we really can't go through all 98 in this three, you know, the three class things. So we said, well, there's three big picture things. And the second big picture thing we want to talk about was, how's your motivation for work? What's your attitude about being motivated? How motivated are you? And there's a lot of Proverbs talk about your motivation. And we're going to cover that in 2 weeks. Next week we're going to have our regular men and women's classes with the elders. And then the following week we're going to have our third class. And that's going to be that third week. So tonight, the class that we're going to talk about tonight is, how are your relationships at work? Because that's the other thing we saw in the Proverbs, is so much of the Proverbs about work was relationships. So what I want to start with is to go ahead and talk about the brochure, or this this supplement to our class, I guess I could call it. Last week I handed it out to those that want, you know, everybody that wanted one, I handed it out. And if you didn't get one last week, you have a second crack at getting it. And this is really all the 98 Proverbs kind of summarized for you, and you can kind of use that if you want to take it to work with you. Maybe read it sometime, you know, when you're kind of in the middle of something. There might be some things that apply. So what I'm going to do is, I told the married couples, if you could please take one. But I want to make a special announcement. There's been a generous grant made available. So we can actually say, if you want to take one, you can take one. So married couples can each have their own personal copy.
Wow.
So, I appreciate the enthusiasm. So I'll pass these around, and if you already have one, you know, again, keep in mind that the grant is not unlimited. So, you know, if you already got one, you know, I will be, you know, I won't complain if you take another one, but, you know.
That's great.
Amen. Okay. So, what I want to do to start the class, kick the class off tonight, is find my Bible. And I want to give a little inspirational passage about wisdom that I found that I think is really cool. So if you turn to Proverbs 8. And Solomon, I suppose, wrote this, and God inspired him to write it. And I thought it was really cool how he was inspired to write this. He basically gives wisdom a personification.
Yes.
And I think this will inspire us it inspired me when I read this. And we're going to start reading in verse 22. So whenever he uses the first person, he's talking about wisdom. Wisdom's talking to this young man. Or maybe wisdom's talking to us, actually. You read it. And he's saying to us, verse 22, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind." So that's pretty cool. Wisdom has been there before the world was created. He was the craftsman. Wisdom was the craftsman at God's side as he was creating all this. And what's really cool is he delights in mankind. Wisdom delights in us. He wants to have an impact on us. He wants us to. He really wants to help us. And so that's the spirit of this class: is we really want to, consider wisdom and how great it will help us. Okay, I want to start with a question, and I've got to have my blank sheet of paper here to get us involved. Okay, I want you to put on your thinking cap, and you're going to challenge me, because I'm going to make a challenge. I don't think I'm going to write anything up here right now after this question is over. I don't think I'll be able to write anything. And the question is, can you tell me a job or a type of work that you do where a relationship is not important? What kind of jobs out there where you don't have to have a relationship with anybody? Can you put your thinking cap on? We stretched, Jessica and I talked about this a little bit. And if you write something, then I'll write it up there, we came up with like a toll booth operator. Somebody's out there all day, collecting tolls. And I said, you got to talk to the people in the car. And those are the worst people sometimes. It's the people in the cars. So you got to be able to have relationships there. It's a tough one, isn't it? The garbage collector? Okay. They've got it, there's two of them in the car. You got the guy that's driving the car. He's got to stop. And he can't run over you. He can't leave you. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sure Grub will come. I could tell you that one time, that twice a year, I find a mailman. I always try to smile at him and wave at him and say thanks. And he's always very pleasant. So. Interact. Okay. So it's policy. They got coworkers. Well, there you want a relationship. Okay. Jim Bell. Computer programmer. Okay. It depends. It's close, huh? Yeah, I thought about a farmer maybe, but even a farmer, you got to find someone to buy your products, and you got to. My grandfather was a farmer, and that's about as close as I ever saw to being out there in the middle of Iowa, nothing around. And so, anyway, I still think that, you know, there's really very, if there's any jobs at all, I don't think there's a single job out there, at least jobs that we're in right now, that a relation, having relationships, you have to have relationships with people, right?
Right.
If you're at work, I mean, I used to dream, you know, I dreamed, when I was a teenager, I was kind of a loner, so I kind of dreamed about the ultimate job would be, you know, I don't have to interact with anybody. I'm kind of an engineer, you know. That's, you know. And some of us have that dream, you know, with that personality. And some of us, you know, that would be the ultimate nightmare, would be to have a job where we don't get to interact. Because that's the fun thing about the job is interacting. As we talked about last week, right? We talked about, you know, the great thing about having a job is the relationships.
Right.
And the opportunity for relationships. Well, we're going to do a little exercise again called good and bad. Okay? And just give us a little visual here. Okay. Tonight, the question for the discussion I want to have is, what are characteristics of a good work relationship with in your office? What are characteristics of a good work relationship?
Respect.
Respect. Okay.
Trust.
No streaming. So gentle words. Is it gentle words? Teamwork. Team players. Okay.
Camaraderie.
Which is what? Just kind of a sort of I like each other kind of thing?
Get along.
Okay.
Encouraging,
okay. Whether encouraging each other. And somebody said teamwork earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty.
Natural, you can be yourself with them.
Okay, be yourself. Accepted for yourself. Or
dependability.
I'm sorry, what?
Dependability.
Depend. So there's a sense of, you can depend on each other.
Hard worker?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So hard work. There's hard work going on. People are being diligent. Okay.
Positive attitude.
Okay. Positive attitude. Okay.
Fun.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Streaks.
Treats?
So
that goes back to the good. Were you there for the good break room last week?
Right.
We talked about the good break room. So I'll put treats in tribute to. We all know what that means, right? Exclamation point. Okay. So that didn't take long. Fill that out. What? Okay. Now, this is probably going to be pretty easy because you've got all the good stuff on the side, and you can just kind of. But what are some characteristics of bad work relationships? So someone said gossip. Okay. Stealing? I'm sorry, what?
Backstabbing.
Okay, there you go.
Negative.
Tardiness.
Okay, tardy. Lazy, okay. So.
Laziness,
tardiness. Somebody. I'm getting. Sort of like, how about interpersonal relationships? What are characteristics? How about some interpersonal relationships that are selfish?
Rude,
okay.
Distrust,
okay.
Prejudice,
okay.
Racist,
okay. Okay, so short fuses.
Oh, yeah. Disrespectful.
Duplicity. Not being honest, okay. I think when I was thinking of that hits me was lack of communication. That was always one that I had a hard time with. Okay.
Incompetency.
Okay. Has everybody got the brochures passed around? Are there any at the end that are left over? Can I come? I'm going to. Well, can you bring them up? But yeah, you know, it's just, there's a hole. That's all right in front of us right there. Well, what I want to do right now is I want to talk about what kind of work relationships do we have out there? And I made a little chart just kind of out of my experience. And I kind of want to explain this, kind of go through it a little bit. Because I thought about in my working career, and I think I like to, hopefully this is kind of as general as possible, and everyone can kind of fit themselves into it. When we talk about having good work relationships, I think we have to understand what kind of work relationships are out there. And so you got me in the middle, or you, and then we have, and I kind of put above, you know, I've had, you know, almost all of us have that basic axis there, the supervisor, and if we're managers in a corporation or an organization, we'll have subordinates. So we'll be in a situation where we have people over us and we have people under us, you know. And those are pretty clear cut. Everyone, pretty much everyone who works has one of those. And most people who work, who've been in an organization and maybe have our managers will have other people that report to them. And then we have over here, I kind of put on this green axis, what I call, in my experience, what I call kind of like authority, you know, the government. Regulators. I mean, I'm a civil engineer, and one of the big things I had to do was work with county governments, getting permits. They're like an authority. They're not my boss, but they're important. Yeah. You know, if I don't, you know, if I have, you know, it's like if you're a truck driver, traffic police are pretty important, aren't they? And they could break your job. If you're out there driving, you know, 15 to 25, you know, you probably won't be employed very long. And you got to have, you know, you got to have respect and good relationships, you know. I mean, so there's always going to be some degree of authority that's maybe outside of your direct supervisor that you got to have good relationships, you know. And then you've got the general public. You know, I mean, we deal, you know, I remember when I worked as a co-op student, I drove this big dump truck one day. I was driving, you know, I had all kinds of crazy little assignments as a co-op student. And one of them, one day I had to, they were doing this test where they had to take this big dump truck out to a job site and do this, you know, they were weighing this piece of structure, and they had to load this dump truck with, like, you know, 8 tons of dirt or something. I mean, it was like, I mean, here I'm this 22-year-old kid, you know, yeah, my driver's license is still valid. They did a check on it, but they gave me to drive this truck. I'm driving this truck down Buckhead, you know where Buckhead Plaza is? Anybody know where Buckhead Plaza is? Middle of Lenox Square, you know, and the busiest parts of town. I mean, West Paces Ferry Road with 10-foot lanes, you know, I'm driving this, you know, 8-ton truck, you know. I managed to make it there, and I pull up, and I pull on the side of the road, you know, because it's a construction site. They're building Buckhead Plaza. That was in the late 80s when they were building it, and it's going up. And I drove up to meet the guy on site, and I'm here, I made it, you know. And then, you know, there's all kinds of people at a job site coming in and out. And this one guy comes in, and he's pulling in this beautiful little, like this little antique-looking thing. It was an amazing little car. And he had his, you know, he was very proud of it because he had his company's name all over it. You know, he was like a glass guy or something, you know, decorative, you know, fine. You know, the guy probably put all the little ornamentation on stuff. It was a beautiful little car. And he comes and pulls up right behind me. Oh. Yes.
Not smart.
And so my first task was, well, you got to get back and back it up. And, you know, the guy's just talking. Back it up. And, you know, we pull it in the driveway. You pull too far. Oh, shoot. So I put it in reverse. You know, and you know, the thing about an 8-ton truck is you don't feel something behind it. You don't know that you're running over something, especially that small and beautiful, you know, and beautiful as it turned out, or no longer beautiful. So, you know, that was a painful interaction with the general public that I had. But I don't know. I mean, you know. I mean, fortunately, we were a big company, you know, so it's just, you know, they don't even, they're self-insured. They just, you know, wrote a check for $20,000, gave the guy a new car or something. I don't know. But that was like, you know, that's my general public story. I probably have a story for everyone, but I won't give them to you at this time. But, you know, we have the general public, and, you know, and they work with us. You know, we have to get relationships with them. And, you know, if you have a bad encounter with the general public, just in general, you could, you know, you could wind up, you know, it's not your boss. It's not anybody under you. It's not in your office. They're out there. And then, of course, you got clients. Some of us who were in especially your private sector, you got people that pay the bills that you're trying to make happy all the time. Yep. You know, customer service. Right. You know, and those are the, you know, those can be the people that come to the, you know, to the window to buy the pizza, which is what I do a lot of times. I'm a client of Pizza Hut. I come in and say, I want, you know, buy a pizza. I want to give you some money if you give me a pizza. And, you know, it can be people, you know, that you, you know, that are going to pay your company $200,000 to design a bridge.
Right.
You know, and you, they want it on time. And they want it to be turned in. They want design done, you know, and be turned in. Or, you know, you got to make, you got to keep them happy. You got to give them predictability, but that's another thing. And then you've got what I consider over here, your colleagues. And those are the people that you work with that aren't your supervisor or aren't necessarily, you don't have control over them, but you still have to get along with them. And sometimes those can be the toughest people of all.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because we'll get into that in a minute, some of the things we've got. So I wanted to kind of give a picture of this because you've got relationships everywhere, and they're all kind of different. You know, it's like, you know, I get confused. Like, how do I handle all these different type of relationships? I mean, is there a, you know, I treat one guy different, you know, one way and another way. And so what I want to kind of do is I think the cool thing about this class is we've gone through these proverbs, and they kind of give you a good one-size-fits-all, you know, set of ideas. If you look at the back page, it says, how are your relationships? And there's a whole bunch of them, you know. It's like, wow, just about everything can, you know, just all kinds, takes you all kinds of different directions. And so what I want to do now for the rest of the class is spend a little time and just kind of go through what I found. I got about six ideas that I got out of this that I kind of wanted just to share. And I kind of think they're off the beaten path a little bit for what we talk, you know. Have you all ever been like, you know, if you've been in a job where they send you to management classes or they send you to, you know, to inspirational classes, teamwork classes,
right,
you know, get along with your, you know, you hear all these?
Right.
So I've been to a couple of those in my career. So I kind of want to do something like that where, if, you know, if I was to be able to do a little, you know, class on this is what you need to do to get along at work. If I, you know, if they asked me to do one ever, this is what I would do. These are the things I would say. And it's based on Proverbs, based on what we've read here. And and some of these are very interesting to me because I wouldn't have thought of these as my first instinctive reaction. The first one I want to share, first principle or observation is, mind your own business.
Amen.
Folks, you say anything, you guys out there at work, whenever you're faced with, if you're faced with an instinct,
right,
always default to mind your own business. Just, you know. Mind your own business. Let's look at Proverbs 26:17. I try to say that the way I would say it to my son or daughter. Just mind your own business. A little emotion there, but it's one that's like oftentimes overlooked by us, isn't it? And if you have it in your brochure, you can look on your brochure if you like, or you can turn to your Bible. I'm going to read off the brochure here. It's Proverbs 26:17, and it says, like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. And I've got, I'm not going to have a story for everyone, but I've got to have a story for this one that I've got to share because it happened just like, it was Tuesday, wasn't it? 48 hours ago this happened. I was in Baltimore, Maryland. And we were coming out of, you know, our anniversary. 21st is our anniversary. So it was anniversary day. And we just came out of a nice breakfast. I had chocolate chip pancakes. And Jessica had strawberry French toast. And we're coming out of the hotel, and we're down here at Camden Yards, baseball, you know, famous, beautiful place, Baltimore, Inner Harbor. And we come out, and it's about 9 in the morning, you know, and it's kind of still kind of just waking up a little bit. And we come out, and there's this lady at the stop sign, and she's got a big truck, big bus. She's an MTA, the public transportation bus driver, and she's got her window down, and she stopped at a stop sign. And not a stop sign, but a stoplight, traffic signal. It says red, you know, it's a red ball, which means, you know, don't go. And there was a guy behind him, and, you know, he come out, and he's sitting behind him, and we're walking down the sidewalk, so we see, you know, we're literally about 40 feet from her as we walk down the sidewalk, and she's over there like, and he's honking his horn like a maniac, you know, just go, you know, and you can see him, go, it's red, you can go right on red, and that's what he's thinking, you know, or something, you know, he's just honking his horn. And I'm walking, and I walk by her, and I see her under distress, and I walk over, and I'm about 40 feet from him, and I turn, and I say, the light's red. And I keep walking. You know? And what I did is I grabbed a dog by the ears.
Yeah.
Now, I was lucky, because sometimes you grab a dog by the ears, and it'll kind of just, you know, well, you grab me by the ears. You know, you know, you might do that. And sometimes, and that's the way a lot of these proverbs are,
right,
nothing may happen.
Uh-uh.
And sometimes you may grab a dog by the ears, and it might just, you know, do like Mel Gibson did in the Colonel in Conspiracy Theory. Remember that? The dog bit his nose. You all remember that movie? Cool movie, Julia Roberts, Mel Gibson, you know. Basically, the dog might bite your nose off if you were, you know, if you grab it by its ears. Well, I was fortunate enough, and I started walking, and I started thinking to myself, what if that guy was really mad? He looked at me. We made eye contact. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I mean, he saw me say to him, the light is red. You know. I'm thinking to myself, road rage. And I started thinking, well, why? I said, you know, I will confess I grabbed a dog by the ears on Tuesday morning about 9:30 in Baltimore, Maryland, on my anniversary. And I'm still alive to tell about it, so thank you. Amen. Father has mercy on us sometimes. I'm still here. But how much more at work do we need to mind our own business? Just as a rule of thumb. You know, if we just, half of our problems probably will be avoided if we just mind our own stinking business. Mind our own beeswax. Just, you know, however you want to say it. The other one, the next piece of advice that I have is keep your mouth shut. Did I say that good? Okay. Now that's the one that's all over the place in here. I was amazed how many times it says in here, just keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
The hole in your face. Close your hole in your face. You know, just close it. I'm doing something. Let's look in Proverbs 11, verse 12.
Come on.
A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor. But a man of understanding holds his tongue. You know, and I mean, let's see the other one I got. A gossip. Well, let's see the other one. Shares. I like this one. I've always tried to go by this one. Proverbs 12:16. A fool shows his annoyance at once, and usually that involves your mouth being open. But a prudent man overlooks an insult. There's one more I wanted to look at here. This is a good advice here. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much.
Amen.
Amen. And that's just talking to the men. You know, ladies, same thing.
Amen.
You know, maybe you need to avoid a woman who talks too much.
Yes.
That might be good advice. At least at work. Uh-huh. You know? So, you know, that's my second piece of maybe off, you know, not exactly what you hear at the inspirational, motivational talks, but if I had to say to a group of people that were in a big organization, just keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
You do okay most of the time. You'll work out. It's amazing how many of these things seem to say that. Okay. Now, we know that's not necessarily always possible, right? Because there are times that we have to communicate and talk. So, when you must open your mouth, tell the truth. That's right. Somebody be excellent. When you must open it, tell the truth. Proverbs 16:13. I love this one. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. And that goes back to, I think about the word I thought about. Let's go back to our little chart of good working relationships. I think about that. You know, our boss, you know, in this proverb, I always look at the boss, you know, the king is my boss. You know, one thing I learned with these guys and my boss is bad news never gets better with age. You ever heard that? I don't know, anyway. But it's true. There's some truth to it. You know, there's another one in there talking about renouncing Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. That's the kind of under the topic of, you know, bad news doesn't get better with age. You know, which is tell the truth. You know, just get out there and say it. And some of these things, it goes back to trust. You build trust when you do that in a group with your workers. And the other thing it does is it requires trust on your part. It requires trust in God. And it requires trust in the proverb, being an oracle. The oracle saying it predicts the future. Mm-hmm. You know, what he's saying here, he's saying something I think we can put our faith in, which is Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. More than likely, the thing, if you mess up, the thing that will keep you from getting fired is to tell the truth.
Right.
That is the thing that will keep you from losing your job. Yeah. If you don't lose it. You still might lose it. But the trust aspect is God is going to take care of the situation. You're going to do what's right.
Right.
I can guarantee you that most people that don't tell the truth after something bad happens are the ones that get fired.
Yeah.
Or they don't last long.
Yeah.
You know. They won't last long. So, you know, that's one thing is, that's one of those Proverbs to me that you've got to trust. You've got to trust Proverbs 16:13. So when you must open your mouth, tell the truth. Okay. Now, there's also times you still got to open your mouth. You still got to talk, communicate. So my other advice is when you do open your mouth, be pleasant. Be positive. Somebody said positive attitude. Be gracious in what you have to say. Let's look at Proverbs 22:11. And this is pretty cool. Back to the king or boss aspect. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. I mean, again, that goes back to the trust thing. You know, if we're positive in what we have to say, if you know, I've heard someone say, I think it's truth, for every one negative thing you got to say, say nine positive things. Be a positive person. Be smiling. Be happy.
Amen.
There's a couple other proverbs in there. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the oppressed are wretched. You know, do you feel like you're oppressed all the time? Do you feel like you feel like a victim? And that's, you know, if you feel like you're a victim, yeah, your days are going to be wretched.
Yeah.
But if you have a cheerful heart, if what comes out of your mouth is pleasant and gracious, you have a cheerful heart, you really have a continual feast. You will have the cheerful heart has a continual feast. It's a matter of outlook and attitude. The other thing I think is really cool that I want to share, proverb-wise, is chapter 25, verse 15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. That's pretty. You know, I think what they're saying here is one of the most powerful tools tools, I guess, is what we use at work. You know, think about a hammer. Think about what could break bones. You know, that I use. I have a toolbox with a hammer in it, crowbar. You know, what else can I break a bone with? You know, I mean, a piece of wood there. You know, 2x4. It says here a gentle tongue can do it too.
Wow.
So that's pretty powerful.
Amen.
If we have a gentle tongue, we can break a bone. And you can persuade people. You're frustrated because no one's listening to you? Well, you got to go counterintuition. Don't jump up and down and scream and carry on, but have a gentle tongue. So be pleasant when you must open your mouth. I got two more. The fifth one I have that I want to share with our inspirational group today to inspire you is no scheming. No scheming. I don't know. No screaming either, but I mean, there might be times to scream. I'm not going to say don't scream, but no scheming. 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 No scheming. Scheming is basically you have a secret plan that no one knows about. And you're going to manipulate the situation to make sure it happens. You know, if you have a plan that you've talked about with your boss and you're going to execute it, then that's probably okay. But a scheme is something that is like a secret plan. That's what I look at a scheme as being. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 29. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Trust. If you have a good working relationships with people, you're building trust. You know? And God's advice to you, it's advice, you know. I mean, you know, God's advice to us is wisdom's advice. Don't plot harm against your neighbor. You know, Are you rejoicing with those who rejoice? Someone else got the promotion rather than you. Is now your new assignment to try to undermine that opportunity? Or is it to rejoice with somebody that rejoices? You know, if you're going to have a trust, one of the things you value about your work relationship, if you got scheming going on, if you got schemes in your heart, you're not going to build that trust. You want your neighbor to live trustfully near you. Well, you need to not, you know, don't be a schemer. I love this Proverbs 6:12, the next one right underneath it. A scoundrel and villain. This is sort of the taunt. You remember the Proverbs are also a taunt? They're an oracle, they're a taunt, so there's also parables. I look at this as kind of a taunt. God's calling, if this describes you, if you read this and say, whoa, I see myself in there, then take on the label of scoundrel and villain and wear it.
Wow.
Just be, you know, man up and wear it. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. So, you know, scheming, again, it leads to destruction, and there's really no remedy for it. You probably won't get it. You probably won't get a good, what do you call those things, reference on the next job application. You know, tough remedy. You know, you see it all the time in the newspapers. I mean, my goodness, the more you read stuff, it's like half this stuff is just, you know, being destroyed. And people being destroyed without remedy. You know, don't be a schemer. No more scheming. Okay, and the final one that I have that I want to share with you. No self-promoting. How about that one? That's kind of a, ooh, that's a tough one. And you kind of, I know for me, it's like, ooh, that's kind of hitting a little close to home. But my advice would be no self-promoting. Let's look at Proverbs 25, verse 6. It says, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. And do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. Someone else, and not your own lips. Again, we could follow that one. That's kind of like a double category. That could be also keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of under both categories. You know, don't be a. I think one thing that's in our society, this is one thing in our society that definitely is counterintuitive or counter-trained in our society. You know, you hear a lot of times, you know, and there's grains of truth in it, which is, you know, no one's looking out, and that's, you know, no one's looking out for you but yourself. You know, if no one knows about what you, you know, and you kind of hear a variation on that, you know, your career, you're building it, you know, and it kind of leads us into this self-promotion too much. Unhealthy self-promotion. We get in and promote ourselves too much. And that to me is sort of my counterintuitive one that I have looked at. President, I have something on my desk that I put on my desk at the office that means a lot to me. Robert Woodruff is credited with this quote, and he was one of the Coke chairmen, brother of Robert Woodruff, who was the main Coke guy. But I mean Robert was brother of the main Coke guy, but he was also a Coke executive, and he's attributed this quote, and it says, "There is no telling how far a man can go if he doesn't care who gets the credit." I don't know if y'all have heard that before. But when I first heard that, I really, really impacted me, and I kept it. And you get in my office, you'll see a little I got a little saying on there on my wall. Because, you know, wherever job I come to, I say, I am not going to be a self-promoter.
Amen.
If I'm doing a good job, I'm going to trust God.
Yeah.
They're going to notice. You know, Joseph was noticed. Daniel was noticed. You know, men of faith were noticed. You know, if God wants me to be somewhere, you know, it's not like he's up on the throne saying, Jeff, you're not promoting yourself hard enough. Get going. Come on, come on, come on. You know, God's in total control of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's up there. And he knows what I need. And actually, the cool part about it, you know, and, you know, so that's a phrase, a saying that really has stuck with me. And it's interesting to see how many of you know, in our working relationships is out there. It's very selfless. It's very counterintuitive, but that's one that I want to share. Is not being a self-promoter. And so let's turn. I got one more scripture I want to share. In Proverbs 27, verse 21. Okay, we're in pretty good shape time-wise. And this passage says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives." Amen. We all hope for and want to get praise. I mean, that's the thing. I probably am more motivated when we did these motivation classes where I worked at. We did these weekends. We'd go to these motivations. And I found out something about myself is I was more motivated by encouragement than about anything else. I just want to know that I was making a difference. And a lot of us as disciples, I think we tend that way more so than other people in the world. We tend to get on the side of, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. And so, what I realize about myself is I really, praise is very powerful for me. Praise is like I find myself working for that sometimes more than just about anything else. If my boss just says, "Hey, you're doing a great job. I really think you're important. I value you." Blah blah. That's like for me. That's like "Hey, I'd rather have that than a $10,000 raise." That's how big of a deal. Maybe not, but be honest. But I mean, it's that that's as good as
Amen.
That's as good as
Right.
Something, just knowing that I'm valued.
Amen.
And I think what we have to do, I'm hoping that what I want to impress with you on, I think if we put these things into practice, we're going to, when we get praise, what's interesting is God will allow us to get praise. He'll give it, we'll get some.
Okay.
Now the question becomes, how do we handle it?
Right.
Do we stay humble? I want to encourage you, hopefully you'll get some praise this week. I'm hoping that when you're at work, and I'm hoping, when I'm at work, we'll get some praise. We'll have somebody come out and say, "You did a great job. I really appreciate the way that, you were honest about that situation." Hopefully we'll get some this week. Hopefully, as we put these things into practice,
right,
we will. I think what will happen is you will get some praise. Whether it's next week or whether it's 6 months from now or whether it's, if you put these things into practice, you will get it. But now we've got to realize that, we've got to realize that that is very important how we handle it. To be humble when we get it.
Amen.
So I just want to share that with you, to encourage you to, build the most important thing that we can, one of the most important aspects of our being successful at work is putting wisdom into practice, getting wisdom into our lives about how we handle these things. So hopefully these items were helpful. See if it's something different to think about. And why don't we do this? Derek, would you close out with a prayer? And then we'll be dismissed.
Thanks. Dear Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you so much just for Jeff's lesson. I pray, Lord Father, that you allow us to not just tuck it away and just, along with other papers and things like that. Help us to really carry this into our weeks ahead, Father, because this is very valuable information. It's nuggets of wisdom that come from you, Father. I thank you for speaking through him. I pray you see us all home safely. And we just thank you for your favor, your mercy, and your grace. These things and all things, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.